My guest at this time is Gordon Chang. He's a columnist, he's an author, and he's written and studied extensively on the issues of China and North Korea. He's also the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. We want to get his reaction to the death of Otto Warmbier, what he believes the proper U.S. response ought to be, as well as what we saw at the end of the week in the response from the North Korean regime itself. And Gordon, thanks very much for being with us, as always.
Thank you so much.
Is it an overstatement to say that the North Korean government murdered Otto Warmbier?
Well, it certainly appears that way. Now, I know that some people have talked about an attempted suicide, but there really is no evidence to support that. And so at this point, we have to go with the overwhelming evidence, and that is indeed an issue of murder.
When we talk about being sentenced to hard labor in North Korea, does that generally involve torture from the research you've done? Is what we think may have happened to Otto Warmbier and led to the brain tissue deterioration and so forth pretty typical? Or is this a more extreme case if it turns out that that's what happened?
Well, usually any sentence in North Korea involves brutality of some sort against the victim. And certainly 15 years hard labor by its very nature is a horrific experience. I think in this case, they indeed tortured Otto Warmbier. And it's sort of hard to understand why, because you'd think that they realized that they'd eventually have to release him. But, you know, in this case, you know, apparently it may have been guards who got overzealous, but probably it was an order from the top of the regime to send a message to the United States.
Gordon, North Korea, of course, issued a response on Friday suggesting that they did not torture him. They're calling themselves the actual victims here, given all the bad press they've gotten from the United States and South Korea and elsewhere. What do you make of the way that they're responding to this now?
Well, it's the typical North Korean response that, you know, it's all the Americans' fault. You know, any problem in the world can be traced to Washington. And this is just the way that they operate. So they're certainly not going to accept any responsibility for the treatment of Otto Warmbier, although they had total custody of him since January 2nd, 2016. There is just no other explanation that, you know, a healthy 22-year-old, then a 21-year-old, would end up in a permanent coma and then death. So we have to just follow the evidence and realize that the North Korean explanation is just not accurate.
If the original explanation for why they were releasing him is in any way accurate, he spent the vast majority of his time in captivity in this coma. So was there anything more to their decision to release him, you think, than the fact that he was about to die?
I think it was because he was about to die. And we can see that from the circumstances of his release. Excuse me. Because you had the UN, the North Korea's ambassador to the UN, get in touch with State Department Special Envoy Joseph Yoon on June 6th because they knew that there was problems with Warmbier's health. And that started a chain of events that the North Koreans knew would lead to the release of Warmbier. And, you know, from their perspective, you know, fortunately that Warmbier survived until he arrived back in Cincinnati. That's the way they planned it. They were very successful in their execution. And it was as horrific as we can think. This is a good reminder when we start to talk about negotiating with the North Koreans who we are actually dealing with.
We're talking with Gordon Chang. He's a China and North Korea expert, an accomplished author and columnist. And Gordon, this all of this unfolds this year in the context of these repeated provocative missile launches. There's been reports in the past few days also, even since Warmbier was sent home, but I believe it was before his death, that there's renewed action at one of the controversial and secretive nuclear sites. So putting all of this together, their treatment of an American citizen, their misbehavior, to put it mildly, on the international stage, we've talked about this before, but when piecing this all together, what's the right message, what's the right policy from the Trump administration right now?
The Trump administration, you know, regardless of what they think about North Korea, needs to impose costs on Pyongyang. And we need to do that because we cannot allow anyone to kill an American with impunity. And this is important because Americans are traveling, and they travel to North Korea. I mean, I don't think they should, of course, but they travel there. They travel to Iran. They travel to other hardline regimes, Russia and China, for instance. And we cannot allow these countries to think that they can harm Americans that they have inside their countries, inside their borders. So this is something which is absolutely essential. You know, we have not imposed costs on North Korea for their brutalized treatment of Americans. The seizure of the Pueblo in 1968 from international water, the shoot down of the Air Force EC-121, the loss of 31 lives, again, no penalty imposed. We never do so. So, of course, the North Koreans think that they can kill us. And this sort of leads to one conclusion, and that is, yes, the North Koreans are villains, but this has become an issue not of North Korea. It's become an issue of the American response to North Korea. The views of the American policy establishment and views of American administrations, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, the North Koreans will continue to act in this way until the United States imposes some costs. So this is becoming a question of us, not them.
When you say costs, so what would get their attention in a way that would actually change behavior?
I think the most important thing would be to cut North Korea off from the global financial system by cutting North Korea off from Chinese banks, which are participating in illicit North Korean commerce and North Korean crimes. This will require an act of political will to take a Chinese bank and deny it access to its dollar accounts in New York. But I think that it's becoming essential for the United States to show the rest of the world that, first of all, we're going to enforce our own laws, regardless of what we think about China or North Korea policy. And second of all, we need to send a message to the Chinese that for the first time since 1994, that we are serious about protecting the American homeland. We haven't done that. And because of that, Beijing and Pyongyang haven't taken us seriously. And I can certainly understand why. Again, this is a question of us, not them.
Let's talk about the rest of the world for just a moment. Obviously, the UN has addressed North Korea before, but with China as a permanent member of the Security Council, there are certain things we probably just can't get done at that level. As you study this issue outside of the United States and the Trump administration, how much does the world really care about what's going on with North Korea right now, other than Japan, probably?
Yeah, well, the South Koreans and the Japanese are certainly very concerned. I think the rest of the world certainly is not as concerned as we are. But nonetheless, this is one of those crises that just sort of boils slowly, and eventually other people start to notice. I think, actually, though, going back to the premise of your question, I think there's a lot the United States can do to pressure China to do the right thing at the Security Council. Again, we are not willing to take those measures and show the political will that is necessary. So, for instance, you know, with China's cyber attacks on the U.S., with predatory trade practices, again, we're not imposing any costs on China. If we were to start to do that, I think that we would see a new Chinese attitude, much more positive, much more cooperative. But until we are willing to take political risks and show political will, you know, they're just going to continue with their support of North Korea. They've weaponized North Korea against us. We have not responded.
Gordon, we talked just a moment ago about the steps the Trump administration could take in order to make North Korea cry uncle. Let's dig a little bit deeper on China now. What can we do to pressure them more effectively?
I think, for instance, as I mentioned, enforcing U.S. law against Chinese banks. You know, we impose routinely hundreds of millions of dollars of fines on European banks for busting Iran sanctions. We do not impose costs on Chinese banks for conduct which is far worse. And so, therefore, we need to do these things and to absolutely show to the Chinese that we're serious. You know, we're not taking our own safety and security seriously. We talk about it. You know, American policymakers talk about it all the time, but they don't act as if it's serious, act as if it's urgent, act as if it's important. You know, I can understand why the Chinese and the North Koreans just laugh at us.
Based on your research, we've obviously seen the Trump administration say that the previous policy from the past couple decades has not worked. We got to try something else. They haven't really articulated exactly what they plan to change about the policy. Do you think that this administration is getting closer to figuring out what its strategy is?
I think they're getting closer. So far, they've adopted the policies of their predecessors, and they're getting, again, no results from the Chinese. I don't know if the president has genuinely been taken in by Beijing or whether he's just giving them enough rope and that he's decided he's going to eventually do something on his own. You know, this is going to be an important question for the United States. I think Trump has the political will to do things. I just don't know where he is right now. And, of course, he's distracted by all of the domestic developments. So, you know, at this point, his China policy has been less than effective, has been worse in many ways than his predecessor. But this is something where he can change the dynamic overnight. We've seen him do this, and so I am hopeful that we're going to have better China policies in the not-too-distant future.
We'll certainly be watching, and as those policy changes are made, we'll be glad to check back in with you since you'll be able to interpret them as well as anyone. Gordon, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Gordon Chang is a widely respected columnist and author. He's an expert on China and North Korea. His book, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.